Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Senator Lisa Murkowski has added her name to a school safety bill, one of the first to emerge in the Senate after the Valentine's Day shooting at a Florida high school. Alaska Public Media reports that the Stop School Violence bill is co-sponsored by Republicans and Democrats and does not impose gun control. It would allow the Justice Department to give grants to schools to make them more secure and for training to identify threats. It's one of the changes Murkowski told the Alaska legislature last month that Congress needs to make to help prevent school shootings.
We know that there's no simple, one easy answer for these acts of violence.
The Stop School Violence bill authorizes $75 million this year and $100 million a year after that. Not all of the money will be new spending. Some will be offset by cuts to an existing program, the Comprehensive School Safety Initiative, a Justice Department program created in response to the 2012 school shooting in Newtown, Connecticut. It's provided as much as $75 million a year for school safety and research and pilot programs. The Trump administration called for its demise last month, 2 days before the school shooting in Florida. Murkowski and fellow Alaska Senator Dan Sullivan and Congressman Don Young do not support proposals to ban assault-style rifles or to raise the age for buying guns to 21. A Fairbanks man was killed in a two-vehicle accident on the Parks Highway yesterday between Nenana and Fairbanks. According to an Alaska State Trooper report, 46-year-old Sean Masterson lost control of his SUV, slid into the opposing lane, and collided with a pickup truck near milepost 329. Troopers say Masterson was pronounced dead at the crash scene and that a child passenger in his SUV was taken to the hospital with serious injuries. The driver of the truck received minor injuries in the accident, which troopers were notified about at 4:35 p.m. Monday. A U.S. Army tanker truck crashed and spilled fuel near Harding Lake. The soldier driving the rig, which rolled near milepost 315 of the Richardson Highway Sunday, is okay, but State Department of Environmental Conservation spill program manager Tom DeRider says an undetermined amount of aviation fuel leaked from the truck's 2,600-gallon tank.
The vehicle went off the road and down an embankment. You came to rest about 30 feet away from a small slough or tributary that goes out to the Tanana River. There was a release. They got the hole plugged up within about 30 minutes.
DeRider says Army personnel from Fort Wainwright are working to contain the spill and that the DEC and Alaska State Troopers have also been on scene. He says the State Department of Transportation is advising drivers to expect delays while the cleanup continues.
We're just trying to keep traffic controlled in that area so we don't have another accident while we're working on this one.
A Fort Wainwright spokesperson says the tanker was headed back to post from a field training exercise when the accident occurred. Area roads are slick as successive systems drop new snow across the region. This season's abundant snow accumulation has prompted the Fairbanks City Council to approve additional money for snow removal. A budget amendment offered at a meeting last night by Councilmember Jerry Cleworth added $50,000 to pay temporary snow removal equipment operators.
We're getting all our snow late in the year. I'm sick and tired of seeing it. I'm getting very concerned because we could get into a melt here in about 3 weeks. If we get into a melt and we have hard pack in any of the streets, then that literally turns to mush. And I've sat in these seats one time when that happened, and it was one of the most uncomfortable situations I've ever been involved in because we got yelled at a lot.
Cleworth says snow removal equipment operators are working double shifts to try to clear city streets before breakup. The council turned back a second budget amendment last night that would have provided a salary increase for firefighters, whose contract is the subject of renegotiation. Councilmember Valerie Therrien offered the $97,000 amendment for pay and health insurance not covered under the current year's budget. Therrien says she brought the amendment forward in light of a fund balance not anticipated by the council.
I think that part of the reason that the firefighters' contract wasn't funded at budget time was because we didn't realize that we had that much money left over.
Therrien says she crafted the amendment after being contacted by a firefighters' union representative. Council members Cleworth and David Pruse adamantly opposed the measure as a violation of city code that limits contract negotiations to a formal process. Pruse called contract action outside that process inappropriate.
We're violating code, period. We've heard it from city attorney. Remember your oath of office. please.
Councilmember Joy Huntington countered that the normal negotiating process was already derailed by the council earlier approving a two-year deal with firefighters and then not funding the second year of the contract.
I don't think this is a normal, in my opinion, not a normal contract negotiation that is just for no reason being circumvented. It's one that was only kicked into gear because we decided not to fund the second year of a contract that was already in place, that is currently in place.
Huntington and Therrien supported the amendment, which the rest of the council voted down. The council later went into executive session to discuss the firefighter contract. A recent study looks at the declining size of king salmon. The study published in the Wiley Online Library documents a Northwest regional decline in the size of kings and attributes it to an increase in killer whales. KBBI's Aaron Bolton has more on University of Washington fisheries professor Daniel Schindler's research.
Schindler and three of his colleagues were interested in studying the piecemealed scientific evidence and anecdotal stories about shrinking king salmon.
And what we did was really to take the first coast-wide quantitative assessment of whether those changes were occurring, what the magnitude of change was, and then last, whether there was any geographic organization to the changes.
Schindler and his colleagues analyzed data from fish tagging projects, catch and fishery management data from states and the Canadian government, and they found that overall, older king salmon are getting smaller.
Particularly the 5-year-old marine age and 4-year-old marine age fish that seemed to be achieving a smaller size when they return.
Schindler says the trend was most pronounced in Cook Inlet and western Alaska, where the size of kings have declined about 10%. There is no singular, concrete answer as to why king salmon are shrinking. Schindler says commercial fishing intensity for kings has declined over the past 25 years. He adds that the answer may be an increase in killer whale populations during that time.
The number of these resident killer whales has increased dramatically over that time period.
Schindler explains that northern populations of killer whales from Vancouver Island to the Gulf of Alaska have doubled in the last 25 years. And he says killer whales are known to target the largest fish they can.
Much more selective for the largest fish than commercial fisheries ever were.
Currently, there is no particular plan to follow up this study, but Schindler hopes it will lead to more field research on the interaction between king salmon and killer whale populations. Reporting in Homer, I'm Aaron Bolton.
And I'm Dan Bross.